The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah, Holy Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to our program, Alhamdulillah. Yesterday, today and tomorrow. Ji, mashallah azawajal. And we've got a very beautiful topic that I want to talk about, inshallah azawajal. And hopefully, may Allah ta'ala give me and all of us the ability to act upon the knowledge that is going to be taught as well, inshallah azawajal. You know the sequence of the program. We're going to be having a couple of segments as well, inshallah azawajal. So what we're going to be talking about, we're talking about rewards of worship. Any of the worships that we do, especially our salah, what are the rewards for that as well? Very beautiful booklet of Amir Ahle Sunnat, Damat Barakatuhumul Aliya. After the five prayers were made farz on the night of Mi'raj, the night of ascension, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam offered around 20,000 salah during the 11 years and 6 months of his apparent worldly life. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered approximately 500 Jumu'ah prayers and 9 Eid prayers. And Salah has been mentioned hundreds of times. In some cases, some of the scholars mention it's been mentioned more than 700 times inside the glorious Quran. And Salah, Allah Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnah said that the 5 daily prayers are that immense bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal, which He Almighty has throughout His majestic grace granted specifically to us. They were not granted to any of the previous nations. So that Alhamdulillah, we are lucky that Allah Azza wa Jal granted Salah to only the Muslims. And we should be praying to Allah Azza wa Jal for granting us such a beautiful ibadat that no other nation was ever granted Salah. And if we look into ourselves, into our lives, you know, we look at other ibadats that Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal were made compulsory upon the Muslims, and also some of the other worships that Allah Ta'ala blessed us. We need to understand, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, that when we look at ourselves, we are lucky that Allah Ta'ala has given us such ibadat. How did Salah come about and how did it all start? The scholars, they mention that on the night of Mi'raj, on the night of Mi'raj, on the 27th night of Rajab, when this beautiful night of ascension happened, that was the night in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with the salah. And it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he was descending into the heavens, on one part of the heaven, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw some angels that were stood upright with their hands folded, or they were stood upright. And in one heavens, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the angels that were prostrating. In one of the heavens, he saw that the angels were bowing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he thought that, subhanallah, what a beautiful way of ibadat. And that is all combined together. So we stand up straight, we bow, we prostrate, we do all of these ibadats, you know, in our salah. And all of these worships of the angels combined together, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have this beautiful salah that we offer today as well. But sadly, if you look at it, there's so many Muslims that do not offer their salah. Now, if you look at it, why is it that these Muslims do not offer their salah? Maybe, you know, we think to ourselves, I've got many other things to do, ma'azallah, you know, I've got this to do, I've got that to do. I'm not saying that we are denying the salah, but we are so lazy in offering our salah. Now, that is affecting our ruhaniyat, is affecting our spirituality. And as Muslims, we should realize and we should understand that Salah is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Let's all look into our family, our own homes as well. How many family members, those who are baligh, boys or girls, offer Salah in our families? If they don't, what is the reason? How can we rectify that? How can we make that better? How can we make ourselves practicing Muslims? And then according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can we make ourselves act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now, we need to take these things seriously. If we don't take them seriously, we're not gonna, you know, do these ibadats as well. And if you look at the ibadat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah azza wa jalla has mentioned inside the glorious Quran how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to spend time in ibadat. He used to spend time in prostration. You know, while our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand up in salah, and his blessed feet would be swollen because of standing in salah. We never have that case. What happens if our feet are swollen? We might not even offer our salah for the next few weeks. Why? Because I'm injured. You know, when you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he went through so many difficulties, and today that's what we need to understand. We need to, you know, and this is a favor upon Allah. No other ummah was given the gift of salah. We are, alhamdulillah, lucky that Allah Ta'ala has granted us with salah as well. And alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, just a little bit of an effort, you know, you get close to your Rabb azza wa jal. Now, about the farz salah, because I started off with salah, I want to mention some of the verses inside the glorious Quran. Verse number 9, 10 and 11 of Surah Al-Mu'minun, on the para number 18, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, and those who guard their salah, those people are the heirs that will attain the inheritance of paradise. They will abide there within forever. And now we need to understand, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, if salah is a very beautiful worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, then what is the reason that we are not offering, or maybe you see that the Muslims are not offering their salah? And some of the people, like I said before, their reason is that, you know, we don't get enough time, you know, we come back from work, we are shattered, we need to go back to bed, and all these kind of things. We come up with these excuses. But are these the excuses, or, you know, will they be working on the day of judgment? Obviously, there will be no excuse that will work on the day of judgment. So as Muslims, we need to understand, we need to be active. And alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, your salah, it will make you active, it will make you go active, it will make you, you know, inshallah, as well, get close to your Rabb azza wa jal. And that is the main goal of a Muslim, to get themselves close to Allah azza wa jal. And may Allah Ta'ala shower His blessings and His mercy upon us. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we need to start to make ourselves get so close to Allah Ta'ala that when we need Allah Azza wa Jal, when we need His mercy, we always call out to Him. We always repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So inshallah, I want to start off with this first, yeah, that whatever we do should be for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And salah is the most important pillar of Islam. After someone's accepted Islam, the most important pillar of our deen, of our religion, is salah. And like the scholars, they rightly mention that the person who does not offer his salah is like he's in a field, and the salah is the barrier between, you know, iman and kufr. You know, if that person does not offer his salah, then there's more chances that he will fall into the field of kufr. May Allah Ta'ala forbid. If we don't offer our salah, then there is a lot of problems that will be coming our way. So hopefully, inshallah, as well, I'm going to continue with this topic as well. But we've got a very beautiful clip that we want to see. So inshallah, as well, let's go towards this segment, this beautiful clip that we're going to see. Is about the excellence of salah as well. Let's watch this clip and we'll come back and I'll talk to a few more things, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Over there's namaz, we'll have your namaz, we'll see.
Dear viewers of Madani channel and social media, let's listen to a few virtues of salah. Salah is a means of pleasing Allah Almighty. Salah is the coolness of the eyes of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salah is the sunnah of the blessed Prophet ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. Salah is a lamp in dark grave. Salah protects against punishment in grave. Salah is a means of shade from sun on the day of judgment. Salah brings ease on the bridge of Sirat. Salah is Noor, that is light. Salah is the key to paradise. Salah protects one from the punishment of hell. Salah causes mercy to descend. On the day of judgment, Allah Almighty will be pleased with the one who offers Salah. Salah is the pillar of Islam. Salah brings about forgiveness of sins. Salah is a means of du'as being answered. Salah protects against diseases. Salah provides comfort to the body. Salah brings about blessings in sustenance. Salah protects against indecency and bad deeds. Satan dislikes Salah. Salah provides companionship in the loneliness of grave. Salah makes the scales of good deeds heavy. Salah is the miraj, the ascension of a believer. Offering Salah on time is the most superior of all deeds. The greatest blessing of the person who offers Salah is that he will see Allah Almighty on the day of judgment. Respected viewers, when there are such tremendous and wonderful blessings of offering Salah, let's all make a firm intention that from now onwards we will offer all of our Salahs with punctuality within prescribed time and will defeat and disgrace our worst enemy, the Satan. May Allah Almighty grant us steadfastness in our intention and bless us with these and more virtues of offering Salah. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, Azawajal, a very important clip about the excellence of offering Salah. And this is what the topic is today, really. I want to include Salah in there as well, but there's many other ibadahs that I want to talk about. What are the rewards of worship? That is what our topic for today is, inshallah, Azawajal. Now, the beloved and blessed Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam has said that on the day of judgment, the very first question that will be asked to a person out of his deeds will be about Salah. So the very first question will be about Salah. If his Salah is correct, he will succeed. But if it is incomplete, he will be disgraced and will suffer loss. So the very first question on the day of judgment will be about Salah. Now just imagine what the scholars, they mention that a person on the day of judgment, when he dies, when he passes away, he's risen out of his grave. Very important belief that is as well. وَالْبَعْثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, that we'll be risen after our death, and when we are standing in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, the very first question will be about Salah. Now this is a reward itself. When a person, he completes this question, then Allah Ta'ala will bless him with the gardens of paradise as well. Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Ahmad Zahabi rahmatullahi ta'ala narrates that the honorable Mufassireen, the people who have translated or talked about the glorious Quran, say that in this holy verse of the holy Quran, yani ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tulhikum أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. Translation from Kanzu Iman. O believers, let not your wealth or your children make you negligent from the remembrance of Allah. And whoever does that, they are the losers. And Imam Zahabi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that the Mufassireen, they say that in this verse, remembrance of Allah refers to the five daily Salah. Therefore, the one who does not offer his Salah at its specified time because of his occupation with his wealth, trading, cultivation and employment, goods and his children, is at loss. So those people, forget the reward, that person is in loss, that the one who doesn't even offer his Salah. So as Muslims, what we need to do, as Muslims, we need to try to offer our Salah on time. We need to have such a life that the most important thing in my daily routine should be my 5 times daily salah. If you are going on a travel, make sure that you plan out. Make sure you don't miss your salah. You have to plan it all out. And then have the things with you as well. For example, if you know that you're going to be traveling, you're going to be on the roads, and you know there's not going to be any service station, then what you need to do is get some water bottles with you. You know, if you want to do wuzu, have some water bottles. So at least you've got something with you, and that you won't, you know, feel, you feel relaxed that, okay, even if I had to do wuzu, I've got water available. How that will happen is, alhamdulillah, you'll have to plan it. Now everything, even the soch, the fikr, the thought of planning for salah is commendable and rewardable as well. And subhanallah azza wa jalla, on the day of judgment, you know, what a person will receive. Let's listen to this beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, written in Musnad Imam Ahmad. The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam said that the one who secures his salah, the salah will be noor, evidence and salvation for him on the day of judgment. And the one who does not protect it, there will be no noor, evidence or salvation for him on the day of judgment. And such a person will be kept with Pharaoh, with the Fir'aun, Qarun, Haman and Ubay bin Khalf on the day of judgment. So subhanallah, that person will receive a noor, a light on the day of judgment. The one who protects his salah. Now just look at the punishment. Even being, you know, resurrected on the day of judgment with these kuffar, you know, with these people of the fire of hell, you know, a person that is going to be bad itself. Why? Because that person is going to be risen with these people. But those who do offer their salah, that person will be with the pious people. Just imagine being with the prophets of Allah, being with the martyrs, being with the sahaba alayhim ridwan, being with the awliya-i kiram, being with all the loved ones that Allah azza wa jalla loves. You're going to be with them because you offered your salah on time as well. Where's our jazbah gone for salah? Yes, we've got the jazbah to go out and work. I'll work my 12-hour shift, and when I come back, I can do another 12-hour shift. Yeah, that's all money. That's all dunya. Tika, you might say, yeah, we do need the dunya as well. We need the money. Who doesn't need money? Obviously, we all need money to survive. But that doesn't mean that we leave everything and we just go towards money. That doesn't mean that I could be during the day, you know, just working out all day long. Yeah, two paise, halmi mazid. At the end of the day, what are you going to have with you? When you die, what are you going to take with you? You're going to take this money with you. Are you going to take any of your wealth, your possessions with you? No, you're not. So why are we spending our time and our minds and our energy and our efforts in just trying to have a better life in this world? What about the grave? What about the hereafter? Do we not need rewards to, you know, to make ourselves a better hereafter? Do we not need a grave that will be full of noor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Kya kabar nahi chahiye? Do we not want a grave that when we die, alhamdulillah, you know, we see the beautiful vision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment, when all the people are going to be in paradise, and those who are going to be burning in the fire of hell, they will be in the fire of hell. The biggest reward for a jannati will be he will see Allah with his own eyes. Do we not want that? Obviously we do. Now Hazrat Sayyidina Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that our Makki Madani Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who makes wudu properly, stands for salah and completes his ruku and sujood and his recitation, his salah says, may Allah azza wa jal secure you as you have secured me. The salah is then elevated to the sky, and there is a glare and brilliance for it. The portals of the sky are open for it, and it is presented in the court of Allah azza wa jal. And such salah intercedes for that musalli, that the one who offers his salah. So intercedes for you. So that's another reward for a Muslim, that his salah will intercede for him. It will do shafa'at for that person. And that's, my dear Islam brothers, what we need to understand. Our rewards of ibadat are so immense, so great. We could be sat here talking about the rewards that, you know, and they'll never finish. And alhamdulillah, azza wa jalla, as Muslims, we need to understand that we need to try to do as many good deeds as we can whilst we are living in this world as well. Another form of worship is sadaqah, giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah, a very beautiful verse of the glorious Quran, and it says that وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, that those people who give in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, those people who give in charity, who give sadaqah, who give to the poor people, who will feed the homeless, who will give shelter to the ones that are homeless, those who are hungry, the people who will feed them, these are those people that will be rewarded by Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are so many blessings when we give our wealth in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you ask yourself a question, who gave you all this wealth? Paisa dete ko sir. Yeah, we say, it's my money, it belongs to me. Who gave you that wealth? Allah gave you that wealth. Allah gave you that mindset. Allah has given you that heart that you gave in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. In return, what did we do? You know, okay, we went out there, we worked really hard. You know, we could have gone out there, worked really hard. It could have been stolen. That money could have been snatched by someone. Allah Ta'ala protected us. He protected our wealth. And in return, we should be giving this wealth. You know, can we not see so many Muslims, especially in this very, very dire time, how much people are struggling? How much people are struggling to get ends meet? You know, people are struggling with their daily shoppings. People are struggling to feed their children. You know, people are struggling, you know, with, you know, very hefty, you know, bills, gas bills, electric bills gone up. Everything's gone up. Try to give charity. Try to give sadaqah. It doesn't always have to be zakat. It doesn't always have to be fitrana. It doesn't always have to be sadaqah wajibah. Sadaqah nafila lillah. You see someone who's struggling to pay his mortgage, go and help him. See if you can go and help him. If someone is struggling to buy their daily shopping for the children, go see how you can help them. Look around you in the community. There'll be so many people in our community that need our help. But because I'm doing really good, you know, okay, I might be struggling myself. But if we start to give to other people, I promise you, I guarantee you, Allah Azza wa Jal will help you as well. As they say, if you give one in the way of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will give you 10. Wallahu yuda'ifu liman yasha. Allah Ta'ala can reward you more than that if He wills. So let's all think to ourselves, where is it that I could be helping my fellow Muslims? How is it that I could be help our fellow humans who live in this world? Many Muslims, many people around the world don't even get a good meal every day. They might be struggling, you know, to feed their children. They might be struggling, you know, to even get the basic necessities. Go and help them. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, the more we help them, the more Allah Ta'ala will reward us as well. And then try to give something that is good to you, the one that you like. Like Allah Ta'ala, He mentions in the glorious Quran, Tum har giz balai ko na pahunchoge, jab tak rahe khuda mein apni pyari cheez na kharch karo. You'll never attain success or balai, happiness, until you've given the thing that is most close to you. Why is more close to me? Rather than giving up your clothes, chalo ji unni jene phate purane ho gaye, chalo ji fakirain dehi udo. Yeah, give it to the poor people. Yeah, I've lost my money. Oh no, chalo ji sadke ni niyat kari ki no. That's not correct. What we need to do is we need to help these people in such a manner that inshallah, as they say, these days can come to me as well. You know, this time can come to me as well. We need to understand the reality and the truthness of this. That if we don't help people today, in return, when we need that help, maybe no one will come to help us as well. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he used to love shakar, of sugar cane. He used to love that. And he used to give, you know, sacks full of sugar cane in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And someone said to him that, Ya Yamirul Mu'mineen, instead of giving sugar cane, why don't you give the price of the sugar cane to these poor people? Why do you not give that as sadaqah? And Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, because I love sugar cane myself, and I wish to give something that I love in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanallah. So something that I love, should be given in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And there's so many different types of charity as well. Now another very beautiful story is at the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, and this person, he was given an order by Allah Azza wa Jalla that his life will be divided into two. One part of his life will be in richness, one part of his life will be in poor. He'll be poor in one part of his life and rich in the other part of his life. Now you choose which one do you want. So the person, he went to his family and friends, and they said to him, listen, you know, you're young and energetic, you're strong, you can go out and, you know, you can challenge the world, you know, and you are fit and healthy. Why do you not take the option of being poor in the first part of your life, so that when you're in the second part of your life, when you get old and you get weak, you won't be able to work properly, and then you can be relaxed and you can be, you know, easy because you'll be rich anyway. So the person, he thought for a while, what do I do? And then he makes his decision. He goes to Prophet Musa alayhi salam and he says, O Prophet of Allah, I wish to be rich in the first part of my life. So Musa alayhi salam made dua, and this person, he became rich. You know, he had so many animals, you know, camel, goats, you know, sheep, and, you know, many halal animals that he had, because wealth was thought of the person who has the most animals, the most flock, will be thought as the most richest person. So he had loads of all of these animals. And one day a person came to him. He was a very poor person. He says that, please, can you help me? I need some help. You know, if you can give me something from what Allah Ta'ala has given you. And the person, he would say, look, what is it that you need? Allah Ta'ala blessed me with all of this. It's not my own. Allah blessed me. Take whatever you want. And that poor person, he took whatever he can and he walked away. And then it was a daily routine. People would come to him. You know, from far away, people would come to this person. He will never ever say no to anyone. Kusay ki bhi na nahi karna. He wouldn't say no to anyone. People would come and say, I need this. And he would say, take it, take it. Allah deta, take karo tu sami. Yeah, take it, go, how much ever you need. And then that part of his life of richness was about to come to an end. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam met with this person, and the part of his life of poor was about to begin. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam saw he was still wealthy. He had still so many animals. He was still a rich person. So he made dua and he says, Ya Allah, what is the hikmah, the wisdom behind this? You said that the first part of his life, he will be rich, and the second part will be poor, because that's what he's chosen. But Ya Allah, he's still got everything. So Allah Ta'ala, he says, Oh Musa, how can I reject the du'as of all them people that he helped? People made dua for him. May Allah give you a long, healthy life. May Allah give you more in your life. May Allah Ta'ala shower you more wealth. Oh Musa, how can I reject the du'as of them people? So therefore, I have written in my divine tablet that he will be rich all his life. So the scholars, they say, Amir banna chane hona, ta ghareeba ni madad karo. Yeah, if you want to be rich, help the poor people. I've got another beautiful clip to show you. Let's watch this clip and inshallah we'll come back again. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
My dear viewers of Madin Channel, inshallah today I'm going to mention to you a blessing of sending durood upon the best of creation sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Shaykh Shibli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says that once my neighbor passed away. And my neighbor, he came in my dream and asked my neighbor that, how was the test of the grave for you? My neighbor replied, he goes, I was asked the question of the grave that, who is your Lord? What is your religion? What did he used to say about this individual, i.e. the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? All my life, I read salah. All my life, I prayed. I read the Quran. I fasted in the month of Ramadan. Yet, I could not answer the question of the grave. It was difficult for me to answer those questions of the grave. But at that moment of time, at the moment of difficulty, an individual appeared in my grave. And he started assisting me in answering the question of the grave. So in the grave, there are three questions. The first question, who is your Lord? And this individual who is in my grave, he helped me and he answered the question. He said, sir, your Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The second question I was asked was, what is your religion? The individual said, say your religion is Islam. And the third question was, what did you need to say about this individual? And for that question, I was informed to say that this is none other than the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. After I was successful in answering the question of the grave, I asked this individual, who are you? Why have you come to help me? This individual, he said, I am an angel. I am an angel, and the only purpose and the only reason that Allah subhanahu created me was because you used to recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Now in your grave, you're finding it difficult to recognize that face who you used to recite durood upon. That's why I've come to your grave to help you. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, look at the blessing of sending durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That by reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, inshallah we have this belief that we'll gain help in this world, and inshallah in our graves and in the afterlife, our durood will help us as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching our program Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, a very important, a very beautiful topic, rewards of worship. Some of the worships that we highlighted. Another worship that I want to highlight, you know, in our daily lives, I want to, you know, try to involve that as well, is reading the Quran. There are so many blessings of reading the Quran. The scholars have written many, many blessings. Some of the blessings will be that Allah Ta'ala will give blessings in that person's life. Allah Azza wa Jal will give blessings in the person's rizq. And Allah Azza wa Jal will give a long, healthy life to that person who reads the Quran. And many other blessings of reciting the glorious Quran. Hazrat Sayyiduna Sahal bin Abdullah, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says, one of the signs that you love Allah is that you love the Quran. And one of the signs, Quran se muhabbat ki alamat, Aqa alayhi salatu wa salam se muhabbat hai. One of the signs of love of the Quran is that you will love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, if you love something, there's nothing else, you know, more beautiful in your life than whatever you love. Like for example, people, those who, you know, they've got a role model. Yeah, they've got this role model. Now what's going to happen is that their role model is going to be, you know, is going to be having curly hair. Ab ye banda kya karta hai? He's going to have curly hair. He's got punk hairstyle. He's going to have punk hairstyle. He wears jeans that are torn. He's going to do the same. Yeah? His hairstyle, he's going to do the same. The way he looks, even the way he's got his nose, he's going to, you know, spend millions of pounds, hundreds of pounds getting the same nose as him. Yeah? Why? Because he's my role model. So whatever that role model does, or whatever that role model looks like, his behavior, his attitude, this person, because that's his role model, he will want to carry on and do things like him, like his role model. But as Muslims, we know who our role model should be. Our role model is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in return, we will do what our role model did. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to read the Quran. The Sahaba ikram alayhim uridwan, you know, the awliya ikram, they loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And look at their lives. You know, so many Sahaba ikram, Hazrat Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajahul kareem, he would put one foot on the horse, and before he would climb the horse, he would recite the Holy Quran. That was Mawla Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajahul kareem. Yes, it was one of his miracles, his karamat, but he loved the Quran. Hazrat Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would love to read the Quran. You know, these great people, the Sahaba ikram, even though they were very, very busy, they were not people that you know, we think of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, yeah, he sat in the masjid reading the Quran, doing namaz. Yes, they did. They worked hard as well. You know, all these great people, they worked for their deen. They worked for their livelihood. Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu is mentioned before Khilafat. He would have a partnership with this person. One day he would go to the masjid to learn about the Quran and the Sunnah. The next day his partner, business partner, he would go and learn about Islam and would come and teach each other. That's the beautiful relationship of business relationship. We've got business partners as well. Hamari bhi sharakat dari hai. We have business partners as well. You know, when is it the last time I said to my business partner, yara namaz padhi ya. Aaj main namaz hi ye cheez hi hai. Na main namaz padhi to na is padhi. We don't get time to read our salah. So if we love Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the sign? The sign is that we will read the Quran. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that for the person who reads the Quran in his house, his Quran rehne walon par kushada ho jata hai, becomes bigger for the person who, people who live in it. Uski bhalai kaseer hoti hai, there will be so many good blessings in there. Isme firishte hazir hote hain, the angels will be in that house. Aur shayateen nikal jate hain, the devils will leave that house as well. Aur jis ghar mein Quran nahi padha jata, wo apne rehne walon par tang ho jata hai, becomes tight for the people who live in it. There will be no blessings, and the if angels will leave that house and the devils will come into that house. It's totally different comparisons. So if you want blessings in your home, what do? You offer your salah. If you want, you know, Allah Ta'ala to shower rahmat in your homes, if you want angels to descend in your home, if you want to have a good life, if you want to have good relationship with your family, you read the Quran. Ilahi, khub de de shauq Quran ki tilawat ka. شرف دے گنبد حضرہ کے سائے میں شہادت کا. Allah Ta'ala mentions in many many places around the glorious Quran, and Allah Ta'ala in one of the verses of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatir, para number 22, verse number 29, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ. بے شک وہ جو اللہ کی کتاب پڑھتے ہیں اور نماز قائم رکھتے ہیں اور ہمارے دیے سے کچھ ہماری راہ میں خرچ کرتے ہیں. You know, those people who read the Quran, who offer their salah, who spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, these are people that Allah Ta'ala says that جس میں ہرگز ٹوٹا نہیں. یعنی those people who do, وہ ایسی تجارت ہے, it is such a business that there is no loss in that. We all want to do business. You know, business kaisa, paise kamasa. If you want to do business by reading the Quran. Do business of the hereafter as well. And alhamdulillah, many opportunities to do those. You know, I've talked about salah, I've talked about Quran, I've talked about giving in charity. You know, let's try to, you know, implement these in our lives. Let's try to implement them in our daily routines. Whatever I do, salah should be part of my life, Quran should be part of my life, giving charity should be part of my life, not just in Ramadan. Theek hai, Ramzan is zakat deyuli. Bada kamal kita janab zakat deti hai. Yeah, you've given your zakat, you have to give that anyway. Woh toh waise bhi deni si. So many things happen around the world, even straight after Ramadan, many people were still struggling to get ends meet. So why not support these people? You know, why not help them? You know, so many Muslims in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, they offered their salah, namaz-e-taraweeh, you know, we did fasting. But then straight after Ramadan, what did we do? Back to our normal routine again. Time laga ta maazallah namaz parsa. Aur na koi khair hi hai, Allah maaf karne wala. Mauliya sakhtiyan kitiyan. Now that is wrong. That is such a wrong mentality to think that, you know, these ulama-i kiram, astaghfirullah, we blame you on the ulama-i kiram, they made deen hard for us. How come they make deen hard for us? They beautified the deen. It is the scholars, you will need them. This is another reward for worship. You know, loving the scholars, that is also a form of worship. Yeah, because every good thing, alhamdulillah, we get rewarded for that. How is our relationship with the scholars? You know, with those people who are the students of Islam, what is my relationship with them? You know, so many other worships that we can talk about, we don't have enough time. There's many, many different. Smiling is a form of worship. People don't smile, you know, bilkul. They don't smile. Whenever you talk to them, there's no smile on their face. Try to have a smile. Try to make people smile. Not laughing. Laughing is against the sunnat, but smiling is the sunnat. Yeah? Al-qahqahatu min ash-shaytan. Qahqaha, laughing is from the shaytan. And tabassamu min Allah ta'ala. And smiling is from Allah Azza wa Jal. So alhamdulillah, let's spread love in the world. Let's spread smiles in the world. And let's make our lives in such a routine then alhamdulillah, I offer my salah, I read the Quran, I have charity, I do good things, I help my neighbors, I help my fellow Muslim brothers as well. And anytime, you know, be a person that you can be approachable as well. Don't be so such person that you'll never be approachable, not on the phone, you know, not approachable. You know, first time ever in my life, I've had someone coming up to me and said, you're not approachable. I rang you many times, but I was traveling and I just couldn't answer his calls. And, you know, I got a message this morning and I was shocked. I thought, wow, you know, and I thought I was approachable. So inshallah, I made that intention that, you know, even when I'm traveling, just a little bit of a mistake, I didn't take my phone charger with me. And that cost me my respect. But, you know, I have said sorry to that person. But inshallah, Azzawajal, may Allah Ta'ala forgive me. But we need to be approachable. We need to be, you know, lovable. We need to be having, spreading love amongst our community. So inshallah, Azzawajal, in today's program, where the topic was rewards of worship, try to read upon these rewards and try to act upon them. And inshallah, Azzawajal, hopefully I'll see you at least for today. Take care of yourself. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Holy Allah.